afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another in our ongoing series, The Week in Reviews, a chance to sit down one-on-one with someone in the music industry. My guest today is Jonathan Schlang of District 97. Jonathan, welcome to the program.
Good to be here, and if I may just correct you, my last name is pronounced Shang. If it were Schlang, I think I'd be getting a lot of teasing.
Okay, no. I do apologize for that.
That's okay.
Okay, so Jonathan, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Jonathan Schlang?
Wow. I guess that's the question on everybody's lips, huh? Well, I am the drummer and primary composer and band leader for a Chicago-based progressive rock band called District 97. And, I've been a musician pretty much since I became an aware being. I've always, gravitated towards music and wanted to be a part of it, and have been pursuing that as long as I could, or since I was able to, and it's very gratifying to finally be at a point where I am able to make music that finds its way to people and that they seem to enjoy.
Well, you're the drummer. You must have had very understanding parents. I'm pretty certain my parents would have taken the shotgun out had I brought a drum kit home. How on earth did you balance that? Or did you have a nice quiet place to learn the art?
Well, no, I didn't. I actually grew up in a studio apartment, so noise was a concern. But not a studio apartment. I mean a basement apartment. My dad was a musician, so he was sort of an aspiring musician, and he didn't end up doing it professionally. But when I was growing up, he still would record his own music, and it was very much a part of my childhood, just his music and the music he would play. And a lot of that stuff later on became some of my favorite music, like the Bruford albums. He was constantly playing One of a Kind and gradually going Tornado and that stuff. So that kind of seeped in very early for me. And my mom paints as a hobby, so both of them were supportive. I guess, I don't know, maybe they may have preferred at the time if I had taken up something besides drums, but they were okay with it. Yeah, they were good.
A couple of months ago, my wife said, "We've got to get something for the grandchildren." And I said, "Let's buy them drums." And she said, no, your son will never speak to me again." Okay, enough of telling stories out of school. Tell us a little bit about the band, District 97. Who are you? How long have you been around? And what does everyone play?
Sure. Okay, well, other than myself, the band, the roots go back a very long way, back to when I and the bass player, Patrick Mulcahy, met in the fifth grade class at Bi School. And that was my first band. It was with him and another of our friends. And we've just been playing together ever since. So that's, I think, over 20 years now, or just about 20 years. So, we grew up together, and then when we were in high school, we met the keyboard player of District 97, Rob Clearfield. And he ended up joining a band we had going. So the three of us have kind of grown up together and sort of influenced each other a lot. And then we all ended up going to college together, music school, at the Chicago College of Performing Arts. We were all jazz majors there. And actually, shortly after I graduated, it had been a little while since I'd been in a band with them, and we decided to get something going, kind of, you know, we'd been very jazz-oriented in school, but we decided to get something more rock going again. And so it originally was an instrumental quartet with a guitarist from school we met, and then I had started writing music that called for vocals, and for a very brief period I sang in the band, but I knew if this was going to be, you know, any sort of going concern, there would have to be a proper vocalist in there. So I thought, you know, who would be good? And Leslie Hunt, our singer, she also went to school with us, and I really liked her style. And I thought I could work with harder edge kind of music, even though she had really only sung pop music up to that point. And in fact, she was on American Idol right around this time. She had just gotten off of American Idol, actually, when I was thinking she could be a good fit in the band. So we ended up doing a show where she opened up for us, and she really liked what she heard, and I asked her to join, and she said yes. And then shortly after that, our initial guitar player left the band, and our current guitar player, Jim Tashjian, came aboard, another person we met at college. So that was all in 2008 when this lineup of the band came together, and it sort of became District 97 as we know it from then on. And we put two studio albums out so far on Laser's Edge. First one in 2010, or was it 2011 now? It was 2010, Hybrid Child, it was called. And our second album came out in 2012, it's called Trouble with Machines. We've got a third studio album on the way that we're about 90% done tracking right now. It should be out in the spring. And we also just put a live album out featuring John Wett called One More Red Night of all King Crimson material.
Right, and in fact, that segues nicely into playing a track. How does The Perfect Young Man sound to you?
That sounds wonderful.
Okay, well, here it is. Off the live album.
May I correct you? This track is actually from Trouble with Machines, our second studio album, and it features John Wett in a guest appearance.
Okay, all right. Well, I stand corrected. Anyway, here's the track.
came here alone and nobody knows she's here. She's so young, innocent, perfect every way. If I slip the plans, now I'll not think twice. No one will that, and I am the day she comes. Ready to fall to make sure. We'll be right back.
It's a very, very interesting track. That presumably is your female vocalist at work.
Right.
She's got a good voice. Works well in the prog arena. Which probably begs the question, why did you select prog rock as your vehicle?
Well, I think it was, it would be cliche to say prog selected me, but I kind of feel that way. Like we were talking about before the show, as a kid, I heard, I was always really into the Beatles growing up. That was kind of my, almost like a religion for me. And I feel that, prog basically started with the Beatles as far as bringing that kind of creativity into pop music. So I think from there I was kind of ready to get into prog. So Yes was the first band that I stumbled across, and I didn't really know it was progressive rock per se, but I just know I really loved the music. And kind of through Yes, I'm a drummer, so Bruford was a big inspiration, and so I was like, oh, well, what else did he do besides Yes? And then, that led me into King Crimson and UK, and then, the other big bands like Genesis, ELP, I became very familiar with. So it was kind of just, I'd always been, writing, I'd always been composing my own music, ever since I was quite young. So I started incorporating those elements once I started hearing these bands. And so it was just, it wasn't a conscious decision, but it was just what was inspiring me. And so then it came out in what I was doing.
This was several years ago. Suddenly, I was getting all of these prog CDs sent my way, and most of them seem to be coming out of Poland, of all places. There's an organization called Metal Minds out of Katowice, and they've got a whole new generation of prog rockers, Pendragon, the Oliver Wakeman Band, to name just two. In fact, I talked to Oliver, that would be Rick Wakeman's son, and I said to him, hey, this is great. Is prog rock making a reemergence? And he laughed and he said, prog is like cricket. It will always be, a second-tier sport. I thought was unfortunate, because I do like prog. And what I particularly like is how clever, and I mean that in all senses, that the musicians tend to be. Some are self-taught, for sure, like Keith Emerson, but most did actually go to some sort of formal training. You said you studied jazz. So,
mm-hmm.
Right, so there's definitely a deeper knowledge of music structure than comes out of your average rapper.
Right. I think that, any musician who wants to be, takes music seriously, but isn't quite as gravitated towards classical music or necessarily wants to play exclusively jazz, just prog is kind of a natural home for that sort of player, I think, who, you know, rock music is, you know, speaks to them, but they also have dexterity on their instrument and are engaged by music theory. I think prog is just kind of naturally occurs out of those sort of characteristics.
Let's do some absolutely shameless commercialization, because I think it's a good thing. I'm sure our listeners want to figure out where they can buy copies of your new album.
Sure. Well, the newest one, One More Red Night, which I'm sure we'll play a track off of that in a bit, that was just released by Cherry Red. So you can get that in all the usual places like Amazon, iTunes, and you can also get that in all of our releases and other exclusive material on the District 97 website, district97.net, and as well as our studio releases are also available, you know, any online retailer and or any, you know, good prog retailer like lasercd.com. Yeah, they're quite easy to obtain.
So, essentially, if someone goes to district97.net, that they'll probably find some links to favorite spots to buy the albums.
Yeah, you can. We've got a merch page on the site where you can actually purchase them directly from us too, and signed copies and things like that.
What sort of feedback are you getting from fans? Do they like your music?
They certainly do. I think kind of the best indication that I've ever had about how people feel about our music was the Kickstarter that we just completed at the end of September to fund our new studio album. And we set a goal of $12,000, and we actually hit over 20,000. So,
wow.
To me, it sent a pretty clear message that there are people out there who are very excited by what we're doing, and they want to feel a part of it and want to contribute to making sure that it continues. So, yeah, I get messages all the time from people saying that, you know, they haven't been this excited by a band, you know, for 30 years, that sort of thing. And yeah, another anecdote I can share with you is as part of the Kickstarter, one of the rewards was a Skype chat with Leslie and myself. So this was just yesterday, Sunday. There was a gentleman from the Milwaukee Symphony Orchestra, a cellist, and we used to have a cello in our band, actually. Katinka Klein plays on our first album, Hybrid Child. And she plays on one song on our second album. And so this gentleman, he learned by ear and then transcribed and learned to play her whole cello introduction that she makes for the song Read Your Mind, which is from our second album. And he played the whole thing note for note, and it was beautiful. And you know, very touching to see someone perform our own music for us like that.
What amazes me is, you know, these crowdfunding sites. You know, you said Kickstarter, but there's several others like Indiegogo. You know, I hear stories about people trying and generally failing, but I'm amazed. I mean, you must have a great following to have raised 20 grand. I'm very, very impressed. When do you think the next album's going to be out? You said you were almost done tracking it.
Yeah, we're about 90% of the way done or so tracking, maybe more. Just have to do a bit more vocals and a couple odds and ends. And so I think we'll get it mixed you know, kind of first thing in 2015, and hopefully have it out by May. I think April or May.
All right. I'll tell you what. Let's play another track. Easy Money. Now, before I put my foot in my mouth, which album is this from?
This is from the live album, One More Red Night.
Okay. Here it is. Here's Easy Money.
Patrick Mulcahy, Jonathan Shang, Rob Clearfield.
Let's see, Han.
Thanks.
Great track, and that was a great rendition.
Thank you.
That was obviously John Wetton on vocals. I'm curious. Everyone knows who King Crimson is. How on earth did you manage to get John Wetton involved in this project?
Well, there are kind of conflicting memories of how we, you know, very first started communicating, but I'll just tell you my version. It was shortly after our first album came out, and I was trying to spread the word, and I posted a YouTube video on John's guest book, not really expecting he would ever see it, but he did, and he really liked it, and you know, so he wrote a nice thing about the band that I think I maybe wrote him asking if we could use a quote from him, and then he sent me an email asking for a T-shirt that he could use in publicity photos. So I sent him that, and he used it in a nice shot with Jordan Rudess and Mike Mangini. And then we just kind of kept up. You know, I would email him questions every now and then because, you know, I'm a huge Crimson and UK fan. And, you know, we didn't even really believe it was him when we first got the email, thinking it was a pretty good chance it was someone just playing a practical joke. But it was definitely him. So we kept in touch, and that first track he played, The Perfect Young Man, I wrote that with the perspective of both a female and a male, two different characters. And we were about to record that album, Trouble with the Machine. And we were wondering, well, what do we do for the male part? And Patrick, our bass player, suggested that we ask John if he would sing it. So I sent him an email asking that, pretty much fully expecting him to say he was too busy or something, but he said, yeah, definitely. So traded files back and forth, and he did a really great job on that, as I think you probably heard. And so then, that having went well, you know, we stayed in touch. And when UK had their reunion tour in, I believe that was 2012. 2012, I think. That opened up in Chicago. And so we arranged the show to happen while he was in town. So he came and he guested with us on The Perfect Young Man, and we also thought of, you know, why don't we play a King Crimson track too, just, you know, while you're here. So we decided on Lament from Starless and By the Black. And we had a great time playing that song with him. That was, you know, kind of one of the highlights of my life up to that point. And so then District 97 got an opportunity to tour UK and Europe last year. And we thought, well, you know, maybe we could do some shows with John while we're there. And so then he agreed to that. And, you know, just to have enough material to play, we decided to work up a bunch more King Crimson songs. You know, stuff that he hadn't sang live in 40 years, for the most part. So, yeah, so we did that in Europe in 2013. And then later that same year, we did shows in the U.S., which is where this release One More Red Night captured on the final night in our hometown, Chicago. So yeah, that's how it happened.
That's just amazing. You know, all from posting a YouTube link on his site.
Yeah, essentially I was spamming his site. And it led to this collaboration now that's going on 3 years.
one thing that's always amazed me, and I've heard it before, that this idea of a long-distance collaboration, you know, 20 years ago, it would have been almost impossible. You know, you lay a track down and send it across the pond, because I believe he still calls the UK home, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
And then for him to layer a track on top, ship it back, you know, back and forth. The technology involved is just amazing. Do you have like a home studio or something?
No, we don't actually. We recorded that album and we're in the process of recording a new album at a place called IV Lab in Chicago. I think John might have I don't know if it's a home studio, but he's got access to a personal studio, and that's where he did his work on that song.
Well, you're obviously a live band, seeing as the CD is billed, you know, live. Where can people find upcoming shows?
Those are all listed on our website, district97.net. For anybody in the Chicago area, or if someone who wants to travel, we've got a show coming up December 18th, which is actually at the same venue as the live album was recorded at, Reggie's. And we're going to be playing with Paul B. Latovitz and Simon Fitzpatrick, who play in Carl Palmer's trio. So it should be a fun night.
Oh, indeed. I mean, that sounds blast. you certainly are getting around, you know.
Yeah.
You've gone from King Crimson to Emerson, Lake and Palmer.
In a way, yeah.
Oh, and by the way, ELP are a blast.
I agree. Yeah, brain cell surgery is one of my favorites. Sure.
Anyway, Jonathan, I'm looking at the clock and it's basically wound down. Do you have any last words for us?
Well, I guess just stay tuned for our next album. We don't have a title for it yet, but should be out in the spring, and you can check district97.net for all the news. And if anyone would like to get in touch with me or join the mailing list, you can drop me a line at info@district97.net.
Jonathan, it has been delightful to talk to you, and I do wish you every success in the future, and please keep me abreast of developments. I can't wait to hear your next album.
Oh, well, thanks so much, Simon. Thanks for having me.
So, till next time, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. We'll be back again soon with another edition of the Week in Reviews. Till then, goodbye. Thank you.